we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
This is a battle of worldview.
And we activate.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core here on American Family Radio. Nothing like a little shot of caffeine after lunch. You know, Bobby, the post-lunch work sprint takes a lot of effort to stay focused.
So, but when you have caffeine on your side.
But when you got caffeine on your side, I mean, you got to have energy. I mean, who signed up for this after lunch show? I mean, who's this guy?
Who's that director of operations?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I've been doing this for several years.
Vice president of operations.
Yeah, VP of operations. But here we are, and I got my caffeine here beside me. Got my American Family coffee, to be more specific. If you want to check out our coffee lineup, you can go over to resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net. And yes, we do have this thing called American Family Coffee. Which we brew here in our offices, and you can purchase for your home or your business or your church as well, resources.afa.net. Maybe we'll bring in a couple bags of coffee and show them off on the streaming platform someday.
Big fan of Valor myself.
Yes.
It's a dark roast.
Very good flavor.
Single bean.
Yep. It's good stuff. American Family Coffee is where it's at, as the old saying is. Hey, we're in Psalm chapter 73 today. Before we jump into our scripture this week, Psalm 73, while you're turning there, hopefully, if you're driving, don't turn there. We've got two events coming up. We have extended our Marriage Family Life registration until the end of this month. So we got pretty much, you know, the rest of this week, a little bit of next week. June 1st, basically, is the deadline for our Marriage Family Life conference. We were able to extend that, thankfully. The original deadline was mid-May, but we bumped this out to June 1. So we're still going to be able to comfortably fill registrations until June 1. afa.net/events. afa.net/events. That's the first one. The second one, and this one's pretty exciting. Marriage Family Life is exciting, but this one's on up there as far as the level of excitement I have for it. And that is AFA at the Ark. It's our first time doing this, but we think it's going to be great. We're going to go to the Ark Encounter. Myself, Will and Mickey Addison, and my brother Wesley, and of course our spouses and children will be there as well. So if you want to meet myself, my wife, and my four young boys who I talk about often, you can do that at the Ark Encounter. So what we're going to do is we're going to be at the Marriott, by the way, Marriott Cincinnati, I believe. We've got the link on the website. We're going to be at the Marriott. We've got a block of rooms there. We're going to have events, dessert receptions, dinners, breakfast, everything there at the Marriott. A great time of fellowship. And then we're going to go over, for one of the days, we're going to go over to the Ark Encounter and spend basically the entire day at the Ark Encounter there in the Kentucky area, also the Cincinnati area. So we're going to do that in October. That's in October. So we'd love to have you there. Of course, this is a family-friendly event. If it's not family friendly, we're not going to be there. So, hence American Family Association. So it's a family friendly event. Kids are welcome. All ages, bring the babies, bring the teens, bring the young adults. We'll take them all. AFA at the Ark is the name of the event. And if you want to check out those details, you can go over to afa.net/events, afa.net/events. Now I will say, and Wes and I will talk about this some in the next segment, but there is limited availability there. There is limited availability there. Early on, we thought we can probably fit 400 people at this event, but we're leaning against that, so we bumped it down to 200 just to make sure everybody has a quality personal experience, personalized experience, intimate experience rather. So that registration is filling up. We've got over 90 people registered, individuals registered. And the cap is 200. So don't procrastinate on that, because you very well may miss out on it if you procrastinate on the AFA at the Ark event in October. Well, Psalm chapter 73 is where we are this week. You know, out of all the books of Psalm, this one, I'm not going to say it's my favorite, because that's hard to do with Scripture, but there are maybe passages that speak more prominently to you than others, depending on what walk of life you're in. The entirety of Scripture is applicable and God-breathed. Psalm chapter 73, this is just the way David's honesty here is rather forthcoming. He says in Psalm 73, verses 1 through 3, truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, David says, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And so David's admitting here that, you know, the evildoers, they seem to have it together. They seem to be doing well. They seem to be advancing on their enemies. And here I am stumbling around. And I'm supposed to be a man after God's own heart, and I'm stumbling around. I can't get it together. You know, I'm not on solid footing. And then he jumps down, and he basically outlines on through multiple verses, half the chapter, about how the evildoer and the wicked, they are just advancing. They are just seem to be in full control of their wicked agenda. And then in verse 16, he almost comes to himself. And he says, but when I thought about how to grasp this, he says, it seemed to me a wearisome task until I went into the sanctuary of God and I discerned their end. So David's just going on and on and on, all the way down to 16, about the evildoer and how fascinating, and or rather how strong and well off the evildoer is. And then he just has this realization that, whoa, I'm speaking in human terms here. He says, but when I thought about how to understand this, it seemed to be a wearisome task until he entered the sanctuary of God. So when we are overwhelmed, when we don't understand, we must enter the sanctuary of God. We must enter the throne room of God. And then he says in verse 17, and then when I did that, I discerned therein. He had a full picture of what was going on once he entered the sanctuary of God. That's Psalm chapter 73. Jumping into this topic of the debt ceiling increase, you know, this has been really percolating in the news for the past probably 4 to 6 weeks minimum. Well, and this is not a surprise. You know, I predicted that this would go up until the last minute. I predicted it. We could, if we need to, we'll go back and pull up the clip from 6 weeks ago. I told you that Biden's team and Congress, they're going to run this debt ceiling talk right up until the last minute. All right. And what do you know? Here we are. The Treasury Department says we've got about enough money to pay the bills until, I don't know, 10 days, 14 days max. First week of June is what they're saying. And so that's where we are. And they're pushing it up against, you know, the deadline, if you will. Whatever the deadline is, most of us don't even know, and neither do they. So that's the latest on the debt ceiling talks. And the reason this is important, folks, we've got to realize what does this mean? Because you look and you go, $31 trillion in debt. Does it really matter, Walker? Do we really need a debt ceiling? And the answer is we do. And here's why. The debt ceiling should drive the budget. Instead of the budget driving the debt ceiling should drive the budget. So it's basically like having a credit card limit. All right. So Congress is discussing with the White House whether we should have a credit card limit or not. All right. And clearly having a limit, a threshold, is in the best interest of the nation. Let's listen to former OMB Director Russell Vaught talking about what the debt ceiling means. Clip 3.
The best way to understand the debt limit is we have a balanced budget amendment in statute, right? So everyone says the federal government needs a balanced budget. I would take it, but we have one. It's called the debt limit, and we overwhelmingly increase it every other year. And it has to be a moment where you get a paradigm-shifting result with regard to spending and government and the administrative state. And right now, Joe Biden needs a debt limit. Every president does. And it's going to give House conservatives massive leverage, leverage beyond what they have in terms of just having control of the House, a very small control. At the end of the day, Janet Yellen has to go into the Oval Office and says, Joe Biden, you're going to cut a deal, and you're going to do it today. Because every president has to cut that deal. And as a result, it gives a huge opportunity, if they can get the message right, the ask right, and I think they're well on their way to doing that in the House, to say, you're not going to get past this checkpoint unless we get a massive amount of spending cuts. My personal view is that that should be about the bureaucracy crushing, that for too long we have fought about Social Security and Medicare, which need reform. But if you were to ask me to put on the top 20 list of issues that I'm concerned about at night, in the morning when we wake up, those two are not one of them. What is most concerning to me is the woke and the weaponized bureaucracy that is oppressing the American people. And you and I talked with them all the time when we go around the country.
So here's why this is important. And this is what Russell Vought's getting to. The debt ceiling drives everything. Listen to me. The debt ceiling drives everything. Oh, Walker, this is just about money. Are we going to spend $1 trillion or $2 trillion? No. The debt ceiling drives everything. It controls the budget. So if conservatives and McCarthy and Republicans can hold the line here, they can shrink the bureaucracy, or at a minimum keep it at the levels that it was before COVID. The FBI, the weaponization of the Department of Justice, the 87,000 IRS agents, all of that is at play here. And if Republicans can hold the line, we can slash some of what Biden has done here and really go back to the Trump era levels of government and spending. And so that's what this is about here. The debt ceiling increase is that leverage. I've got a link here that I just dropped over to Bobby on our rundown. This is a four-pager that Representative Chip Roy has put out. It's a four-pager. We're going to link to it on our podcast page at AFR.net. And this goes through the various subjects that are being debated at the White House. Here. Listen to some of these before we wrap up this segment. If Republicans get what they want, here are their wish list items that they are bargaining with the White House over: reducing fiscal year 2024 discretionary spending to 2022 levels, and cap future spending at 1% growth, so the government can only grow at 1% per year. Repeal the grid destroying tax credits for unreliable energy in the so-called Inflation Reduction Act, that will benefit and is benefiting rich liberals, corporations, and the CCP, Chinese Communist Party. So all these solar panels and lithium and all this solar Green New Deal garbage that actually the wealthy people are getting tax credits for and the wealthy corporations, let's cut that out. That does not benefit our economy. That does not benefit our nation, the government giving out money for this Green New Deal garbage. The third thing, overturn Biden's unfair deficit increasing and tuition increasing student loan bailout. That's what's being negotiated at the White House. The fourth thing, rescind the $80 billion that Democrats gave to the IRS to hire 87,000 agents to hunt you and me down. That's what's happening here. Reform number five. Implement the RAINS Act to end the abuse of executive power by empowering Congress to approve major regulations that cost Americans billions of dollars, like banning gas stoves. And lastly, well, sixth, strengthen and establish work requirements. We talked about this the other day. For able-bodied adults. Imagine that, having to work. Goodness, we're in 2023. We shouldn't have to work, Walker. Just send me a check. Lastly, reclaim billions in unobligated COVID spending. COVID's over. Why do we need COVID money anymore? Rein it back in, and let's pay down our debt. At the core, we'll be back in a few.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Who tells the sun to rise every morning, colors the sky with the shades of his glory, wakes us with mercy and love, Jesus does. Who holds the orphan, comforts the widow, cries for injustice, feels every sorrow, carries the pain of his children, Jesus does.
So we sing praise to the Father,
all our mistakes, washes us clean with his blood, Jesus does. I believe that he does. Who sings a song of sweet forgiveness? Who stole the key to hell and
welcome back to The Core. It's Worship Wednesday. That's our song for this week. And, hey, before I introduce my brother, he can wait a few minutes. I love how Bobby still has your mic down. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Okay, now you can speak.
So, it's official. I am a guest.
Yes.
I mean, that's just all there is to it. That, I mean, that's how that happens.
But you like
my mic stays down when I'm making fun of you.
Yeah, but you do have like a key. At least you got a key to the house kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah,
you
know. That's
and
right.
He is a very special guest.
That's what I was trying to communicate.
Hey, one point, Wesley, in the last segment I was talking about the debt ceiling negotiations that the Republicans are having with the Biden administration. And, folks, I just want to take us back a couple months. Remember the battle for who's going to be House Speaker? Remember that battle that lasted a couple weeks, and some conservative leaders were saying, "Oh, you guys just need to give it up. Just let Kevin McCarthy get it. No negotiation, no agreements, no meeting in the middle, nothing. Just let Kevin McCarthy be the House Speaker. You know, Trump says he's going to be great, and who needs to negotiate?" And they were telling Chip Roy and stuff just to move on and forget about it. Well, this is why it was so important that Chip Roy from Texas, Matt Gaetz, and others, by the way, this is why it's important that they negotiated with Kevin McCarthy on basically the playbook and the rule book for being House Speaker. And one of the things they got out of Kevin McCarthy is, look, if you don't do good, if you don't do right, we can bring up your speakership on the House floor with one vote, with one call to bring the speakership up on the floor. So that all that drama that went on and that negotiating brought us to a point where we actually have some kind of leverage. Conservatives actually got some teeth to their game in Congress. Wesley, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm glad to be on. I'm looking forward to talking about a couple things that AFA is doing. But before they do, where can they go find and watch the program that we're on right now?
Yes, we're on streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. And we're also over there on Facebook, At the Core on Facebook. So multiple places to live stream the show.
And the reason I wanted people to know where to go is so they can see my preparation for this program.
I knew you had a motive.
I mean, this is
it. Otherwise, you don't pitch that kind of stuff without a motive.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
No, this is the notes that I have. I am thoroughly prepared, and
okay,
I'm good to go.
People need to see that. All right, folks, if you want to see Wesley's notes, go over to streaming.afa.net. And there's not enough probably screen on your smartphone or computer to see all the notes.
That's right. That's so, right. Well, you know, there's times I come in here where I've got more papers than I know we're going to get to, and I'm overprepared. And then you got days like today where the topics that we're going to be talking about are things that I'm working on directly day in and day out.
Let me help you. I'll make it like Biden's notes. Sure. Let me put like look at Walker in the eyes.
He doesn't really look
at his name is Walker.
He didn't look at his notes, though.
Yeah. The producer's name is Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y.
Oh, that's true. He does go back to those notes.
Top line message.
That's right, yeah. Hey, the reason I don't need a whole lot of notes is because these things I'm talking about, I'm working with day in and day out, and I'm very passionate about them. One of the projects that AFA is working on that we are, I would say, about 60-70% through, and 60-70% completed, and we'll be finished up here at the early fall. And that's a project called Activate. Activate is what makes Activate very special. First of all, it's a training course where AFA trains you in biblical worldview in four or five categories, which I'll discuss here in a little bit, depending on how you look at it. Mm-hmm. Four or five categories. And then once we train you in those areas, you will be able to live those areas out in your day-to-day life. So what makes it special is that there have been churches that have covered the worldview topics and others that haven't covered the worldview topics, but providing tangible application to your worldview is what the course is going to do that makes it different. Our Activate course or curriculum will answer two foundational questions. Mm-hmm. And the two foundational questions that Activate training course will answer is this. Number one, what do you need to know about the Bible and how our current culture can help us to fulfill the responsibility as a citizen where God's placed us? And number two, how does the gospel compel us as Christians to persevere and pursue justice and promote flourishing of the American family? So yeah, we've got these areas of AFA, the core values of AFA, that I get asked often many times, you know, do y'all have a training course or curriculum, or do y'all have a way that we could come up there to the AFA or to our facilities and be trained in these areas?
Yeah.
Think about situations like this. Here's one where your pastor begins the process of going down the woke path. Mm. Well, what do I do now?
Right.
How do I approach my pastor? Or maybe you're in public and you're at an event and you have a protest going on where you got your advocates for abortion are there.
Right.
All these types of areas where you wonder, as a Christian, how do I do something? We're already making a big assumption that we have the biblical worldview,
right?
Although we will cover that.
Yeah.
How do we, applicable as a Christian, respond and be active in our faith? That's the name of the project, yeah. Activate. And we're gonna teach you how to do that, and we're gonna show you how to do that.
Yeah, in very practical ways. And one of the things we're wanting to do, Wesley, is, you know, a lot of people call in, donate to AFA, American Family Radio. And they say, you know, you guys are a voice, you know, y'all are saying what I'm thinking. Y'all are a voice for the Christian cause, for the Christian community in America. And that's great. That's good. But we want to enable you, the listener, the supporter, the mom, the dad out there. We want to equip you to not only have a biblical worldview, but to live out a biblical worldview so we can replicate. We can do as Scripture says and make disciples so that we have, you know, 10,000, 20,000, 100,000 AFA, basically foot soldiers out there trying to transform culture through a biblical worldview. So this is, Wesley, this is going to be online. We're also going to send a kit in the mail.
That's right.
But this is going to be a very intensive biblical worldview training program that we're coming up with.
Yeah, so if you've been a part of any of your church Sunday school classes or small group meetings where you went out when you had a book or a DVD and you begin to learn biblical worldview, well, we're taking that idea and we're adding a major component, which is the app, which is what we're calling the accountability sheet, mm-hmm. which is where it challenges you, and you have to, in order to move from one unit or from one topic, biblical topic, to another, you have to complete the accountability sheet or the accountability steps in order to move on and then ultimately graduate and come up here at our facilities, and we provide a dinner, a meal, and we recognize you, and you'll get to meet some of the teachers, the professors that are a part of the training Activate. Let me just give you the units. So unit one will cover the biblical foundation of cultural involvement. Basically, in paraphrase, the Bible is our foundation for our biblical worldview. That's one. Number two, unit number two, the sanctity of human life. And number three, we will cover the third unit, we will cover marriage and family. And then unit number four, we will cover religious liberty. And then unit number five, we will cover stewardship.
That's good.
Now, within those units, there's a variety of different questions and topics that come up in which we will address, and we will equip you to be able to help answer that. So let's just look at the...
Can I interrupt
sure.
you? We've got about almost 20 people wanting to see the note card.
Oh, okay.
So I just don't want to leave them hanging. You know, they're like, well, I got to see the notes. And then all they're doing is hearing Wesley talk. So here's Wesley's notes.
That's it.
For the program. So, and then this is the Biden notes down here.
That's
right. Look at Walker. His name is Walker, W-A-L-K-E-R. I'm just kidding. Keep going, Wesley.
Hey, seriously, I'm really, if you can't tell already, I'm really passionate about this project, been working on it for a while. So an accountability sheet, these are some of the questions and some of the challenges that you will have to answer and do as a group in order to move on. You'll be required to do a handful of these, not all of them. Mm-hmm. You can pick and choose. That's what makes it fun. So one, we're challenging you. If you were in the stewardship category or unit, and you were trying to complete it after you've watched it, you fill out the pamphlet, the booklet, then you go to the accountability sheet in order to move on to the next phase. One is pray for further ways in this teaching of your life and for your country. So you're going to pray for that particular unit. Number two, ask your pastor what his and his church position is on this topic. And if it's consistent with what you've learned, thank him for being consistent with the scriptures. If for some reason it's different, then challenge him to watch and go through what you're going through as well. And so basically the idea is to take your beliefs and challenge. And now this can be done whether you're an introvert or extrovert. This can be done either way. We've got accountability questions for both personalities that's included here. So activate the timeline here. Like I said, we're about 60 to 70% complete, but we will be able to launch this in early October, late September, early October. But we will have small samples and a lot more information on this at the Marriage Family Life Conference. And so if you're coming to the Marriage Family Life Conference there, you will see short videos of it, short samples of it. We'll have a couple handouts. And, of course, we will talk about it from the stage. And so we will be that much closer. I'm looking about, by the time Marriage Family gets here, we'll have about 80% of it done. And so we'll be that much closer. Please pray for the project Activate, because we know that this has been a major, major, major undertaking, and we are not naive, and we totally support and are grateful for, and we know there's a lot of biblical worldview training out there in pastors like, or theologians and pastors and friends of ours, or evangelists like Alex McFarland, Frainter. There's a whole bunch of that out there, and we're grateful for all that. The component that we're adding to it is this accountability sheet, where you come together as a group and you take what you've learned. I mean, I'm quickly thinking about the pro-life section.
Yeah.
We're challenging our, in order to complete that unit, we're at challenging you to participate in a pregnancy clinic close to you, to get with your church, take supplies up and donate them. There's all kind of ways that we're challenging you
and
to get involved.
And the focus on family.
Yeah, the focus on family. There's a handful of challenges there. That challenges the parents to do discipleship with their kids and give them a couple different ways to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're really, really busy and you've got a lot going on, but yet you are very passionate about being active in your faith and not just being passive and just waiting for the days to pass by.
Yeah.
This cannot be a more helpful tool for you, because it's information and then it's application.
So you guys are, correct me if I'm wrong, but you said you guys are going to present this project and probably go in a little more in depth at the Marriage Family Life Conference.
Absolutely. Yep.
So folks, if you're coming to the Marriage Family Life
Look
Conference,
forward to this.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Activate while we're there, amongst a plethora of other things. But Go ahead and go over to afa.net/events. Come to the Marriage Family Life Conference and then hear Wesley and others talk about the Activate Project. And Wesley, as far as a timeline for Activate release, we're looking at what, fall to late year?
Yep. So late September, early October, we will have the product complete and we'll have it in hand. And from there, we will begin the process of the best way that we can maximize the release date of Activate. Again, it's a big project AFA is working on. It comes from 10 years. I've been here 10 years, and I've traveled and met tens of thousands of our financial supporters and those that listen to us and pray for us.
Yeah.
And one of the top three most frequently asked questions is there the Don Wyman Center for Cultural Transformation, could I come there and y'all train me on the things y'all talk about on the radio?
Sure.
Well, for the longest, we just say, oh, just listen and take it all in and do the best you can. Well, now we're saying we're going beyond just listening to the radio.
We've got a program.
Now, when I say it's intense, it's fun and it's intense, but it's more challenging and taking what you've learned in the scriptures and these are very important topics during our time. And what it looks like to do so in both grace and humility and boldness.
And you can do it at your own pace.
Do it at your own pace. That's correct. Yep. We're fired up. I'm fired up about it.
Absolutely.
That's why I didn't need notes.
There you go. Hey, folks, if you wonder, like, when I donate to American Family Radio, American Family Association, what all are they doing there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to need about 5 hours.
we're hard at it.
Yeah, that Activate is just one of many, 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 many projects. We've got a Don Wildman documentary coming out at the end of the year, by the way. Over 60, probably closer to 90-plus minutes documentary on my grandfather, Don Wildman.
Amen.
And that's just two of multiple projects we're working on. Thanks, Wes.
Hey, glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
All right.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to the program. Last segment here on The Core. It has gone by fast, and this segment will be no different. Hey, if you want to call into the show, we'll take your calls towards the end of this segment, and we'll discuss, take your comments or questions about any of the topics we've discussed on the program today. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We'll take your calls here in just a few minutes. 888-589-8840. We'll take your calls towards the end of this segment in just a few minutes. Hey, I do want to introduce our next guest. We do have Mississippi State Representative Nick Bain on the line with us. Representative Bain, welcome to the Core.
Yeah, Walker, thank you for having me. Excited about being here with you.
Well, Representative, once again, we have Representative Nick Bain on with us. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been in the state legislature here in Mississippi, and then we'll jump into some of the key legislation you helped help pass this last cycle.
Sure, yeah. I've been in the legislature for 12 years. This is my
Representative, can you hear us? You there? Hey, Representative.
Yeah, you got me?
Yeah, I got you now. Sorry, I lost you for about 15 seconds. Continue.
Okay, yeah, I've been in the legislature for about 12 years. I served Corinth, Mississippi, and Aucoin County, which is in the northeast part of Mississippi, and I am the chairman of the Judiciary B Committee, which handles a lot of social issues, handles a lot of issues that have to do with your Second Amendment, your abortion issues, and some of the other more social conservative issues that we pass through. Also, we deal with law enforcement issues, public safety issues, and proud to chair that committee. Been doing that for the last 4 years.
Let me ask you this, Representative Bain. One of the bills that you helped pass, and this wasn't necessarily an AFA bill, but it was a bill that came from probably. Input from a variety of groups and individuals and lawmakers, but it was a legislation that prevents basically childhood mutilation, childhood sexual mutilation in the name of transgenderism. And we've been seeing this is a hot button issue that's affecting a lot of people. Tell us about that legislation. And I'm curious, was there much pushback on it?
Yeah, that was House Bill 1125. It was authored by Gene Newman out of Rankin County, and I helped co-author that bill. It's called the Regulate Experimental Adolescent Procedures Act, the REAP Act. But basically what it did, in a nutshell, was it no transgender surgeries, hormone therapy for anybody under the age of 18. I handled that bill on the floor. That was pretty much the bill. It was a very simple bill. It had some nuance to it, so to speak, but for the most part, that's what it did. If you were under the age of 18, a doctor in Mississippi could not perform and cannot perform, it's now law, cannot perform gender reassignment surgery on you. Your question about pushback, well, you know, you would have thought that I was the devil incarnate, I guess, up there handling the bill. It argued about four hours, four-hour debate on the bill from various questions regarding, you know, the parental consent, giving people the mental health issues they needed. And look, the bill did not prevent people from living however they identify, whatever that means. It just prevented a doctor from doing surgery and what I would consider an irrevocable surgery.
Yeah.
Under somebody the age of 18. I mean, we don't let 18-year-olds, you know, we don't let them buy cars. We don't let them drink alcohol or stuff like that. So why do we let them make a decision about whether or not they're going to potentially harm their bodies for the rest of their lives?
Yeah, that's exactly right. These are life-altering decisions, irreversible. And also, you know, to your point, it's one thing for someone to have a brief period in their life where they're questioning themselves, their identity, how God created them, and they're a bit confused. That's actually not uncommon, you know, for people who are going through some emotional and spiritual issues, and to make maybe temporary reversible decisions on that front. But you're exactly right. These surgeries are irreversible. They do irreparable damage to people's bodies. Young women and young men, and it actually exacerbates what is already someone struggling with gender dysphoria or emotional or spiritual issues. It exacerbates that problem, I would say 100-fold, because it adds permanent damage to one's body that cannot be reversed, and it increases depression and suicide rates out the wazoo. Hey, Representative, there was a couple other bills that we passed in Mississippi, specifically you helped pass. One of the pieces of legislation that our good friend Jameson Taylor worked with your office on and others is on the library database bill. You know, people probably think library databases, those got to be the cleanest databases ever. That's not necessarily the case. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, House Bill 1315, and Dr. Jameson Taylor is a friend. He does the Lord's work in what he does, and comes about his work with that filter, with that worldview of trying to do kingdom work. So I'm proud to have him in my life, and he's been an impact with me. But the database bill exactly does that. It just requires that if anybody's going to have a public library or a school has a contract with a vendor, that vendor has to have safeguards in place that protects minors from viewing sexually explicit material. For example, if it's a database that you type in something, whatever the case may be, they've got to have safeguards to make sure that doesn't take them to a pornographic website or take them to a website that maybe not be pornographic in its nature, but is explicit in giving them stuff that probably shouldn't be seen at a tender age.
Mm, absolutely. And before, you know, this year, we had different laws on the books that were aimed at preventing pornographic or rather explicit material in public libraries and schools, but there wasn't much teeth to the legislation. So if a parent, you know, or a school administrator came across something, you know, trying to twist the arm of the database owner to get it off their database, there just wasn't a lot of recourse there. So this this legislation, soon to be law, really puts some teeth to it and equips parents and school administrators and librarians to actually able to have some kind of resource here. Hey, Representative Bain, thanks so much for coming on the program, giving us a rundown of some of these bills And how can folks find out a little more about your work, about your representation here in Mississippi?
Well, you know, I'm on Facebook, on Twitter at State Rep Bain and Nick Bain, State Representative on Facebook. You know, we try to stay active. And like I said, we're up in the far east, northeast corners of North Mississippi and doing what we can to keep Mississippi moving forward.
Gotcha. Hey, thank you, Representative Bain, for coming on the program and for your stand for what is good and right and noble.
All right. Thank you, Walker, so much for having me.
Yes, sir. That's Representative Nick Bain from the northeastern part of Mississippi. Hey, we're taking your calls now, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Call in. We'll be glad to take your question, comments on the topics we've discussed on the program today, 888-589-8840. You know, on what Representative Bain was talking about there, we actually have model legislation that our team has written that's ready to go. So if you're listening to the program and you have been listening, you know, recently where we have on these lawmakers and these various elected officials that are talking about these great pro-family policies that we're working on and they're becoming law in various states around the country, and you're like, hey, I want to do that in my state, you can do it. Look, we don't need the credit. It's great when we get credit, but we don't have to have the credit. We don't have to have a pat on the back. We just want to do what's right for our country. If you go over to afaaction.net, afaaction.net, that's our governmental affairs affiliate of American Family Association, and you click on government renewal, we've got links to model legislation. So you can download this stuff and give it to your state lawmaker. You don't have to go through, you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to go through convoluted processes to get this stuff. We want voters, we want citizens to take this model legislation, hand it to their state lawmaker, and say, I want this done in my state. So over at afaaction.net, right there on the homepage, you click government renewal, and then you'll see model legislation. We've got the PDF downloadable there. We've got the full description of all the legislation, what it does, what it means. And then, of course, you can talk to our team. You can talk to Dr. Jamison Taylor and connect him with your state lawmaker, and we'll be glad to work out all the logistics and help provide any type of support that is needed at the state level there. We've got 5 model bills as of now available on our site. Tax credit for pregnancy resource centers, tax credits for adoption agencies and foster care nonprofits, requiring age-appropriate guidelines for libraries, requiring age verification for pornographic websites, and lastly, our library database model legislation. So that's what we have available over at afaaction.net. Once again, if you want to call in, we're taking calls the last few minutes here, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Vernon. In Kentucky. Hey, Vernon, welcome to the court.
Hi, brother. I have a question, and I wish someone has a louder sound than I do. For example, what I'm trying to say is women do not have to murder their babies. Hmm. What I mean by that, a woman could go to a doctor and get tubal ligation, and she can have her tubes tied. And that way she will not have to kill her babies. Mm-hmm. So there would be no need for murdering her babies. Mm. And they could put Planned Parenthood out of business. Mm. So I call it Planned Parenthood, but it means the same thing.
Yeah.
So if the woman, for example, you never hear anybody talking about that on American Family Radio. And when I was growing up in the 70s, you never hear about birth control anymore. Mm-hmm. So there's a way of doing things. For example, my wife had a tubal ligation because we had 2 handicapped kids.
Yeah.
The doctor told her.
Hey,
thanks,
Vernon. Yeah, so, thanks, Vernon, for calling in. I think I got your point there. Hey, you know, yeah, to your point about, you know, us not mentioning that on American Family Radio, when we look at Scripture, the mandate in Genesis is to be fruitful and multiply. The mandate in Genesis is to be fruitful and multiply. So that's the biblical mandate. You know, nowhere in Scripture do you say that, you know, you need to have less than two kids, or you should have no kids, or you should have less than three. The Bible doesn't get into regulating how many kids people have, but what God does say is that we need to be fruitful and multiply. So you can put that together when God says be fruitful and multiply. Now, of course, you run across different situations that are very sad situations where people just have trouble having children. You know, there are various scientific reasons why women are infertile or men aren't able to have children as well or help their wife have children. So you run into those situations, and of course, that's very sad. And there's adoption, there's foster care, there's tons of opportunities for you to bring children under your roof and to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. But, you know, Christians don't need to be in the business of telling people that they need to have less kids or they need to have, you know, promote birth control as some kind of biblical tenet, because it's not. As a matter of fact, we need to start doing more of preaching about having more children. I mean, that's what our society is suffering from. And I get your point about how we can prevent abortion. And of course, there's a plethora of ways to do birth control. But from a biblical perspective, we need to be having more children. We need to be having more children, but within the confines of biblical marriage. And that's the key problem here, is there's kids are beautiful. Kids are great. We need to start having kids in the proper context, in the proper environment, and that is under the shelter and the protection of one man, one woman within the confines of a marriage. So I would argue, you know, what we're facing today is we're facing a depopulation problem. And this is something that a lot of people aren't talking about. And these Marxist God haters, all they want to talk about is population control. And they do all this fear mongering about how, you know, we got too many people on the planet and it's causing climate change and blah, 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 blah. None of that stuff is scientific. None of it's biblical. None of it's moral. It's purely humanistic, self-interested ideology. But what we're facing in America, you look at the census data, we're facing a population decline. We're not even at replacement levels. I think we're at like 1.6, 1.8 replacement numbers. Well, if you do the math, folks, that's not replacement. That's like status quo. When you talk about replacement levels and where we are in America, and what does that lead to down the road? Well, it ultimately leads to a degrading and a failure of a nation state. Because when the population declines, well, so does the economic activity, so does your employment levels, so does your military readiness, because you have less people willing to fight in the military, and you could go down the rabbit trail. But most importantly, population decline, which is very rare to hear about in human history, population decline, is really an indicator of the moral state of a nation. Because what does that mean? It means people are more interested in self than raising children in the fear and admonition of the Lord.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.